we will be lighting the candles of the Advent wreath. The candles signify that Jesus is the light of the world. The evergreens remind us that he is the life and brings that he is life and brings life to us. All these are arranged in a circle because life in Christ has no end.
On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. The people of Israel hoped in God's promises and were not disappointed. Again and again, God delivered Israel from its enemies. We too have the same experience of salvation. This is why we believe in God's promise to send Jesus to us once again to judge the world and establish his kingdom forever upon the earth. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the hope you give us. We ask that as we wait for your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word and to do your will by sharing your hope with each other. We ask it in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem.
Some words from Luke chapter 1, just thinking about Mary and the surprise of her life when she encountered Gabriel. And it says here, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" And those final words, we can rejoice that his kingdom will never end. And we can give thanks to God that he's given us the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you today, Father, that we can call you Father, that we can cry Abba, Father, today, because we believe that you are faithful to your promise. And all the promises that you have made are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And we bless you today that we could acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We thank you that today we can call Jesus our Lord, our life, our future, our all and in all. And as we bow before you today, we thank you that you abide with us. We thank you that you have promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, but to be with us at all times. And as we draw near now, we come, Lord, in the only way that we can come, as we are. We come with often heavy burdens, real concerns, health issues, issues with family and friends and all that this time of Advent will mean to the wider family and friends that surround us as we prepare our hearts for the great day when we remember and celebrate the coming of Jesus. Lord, we live between times. We live between the first Advent and the second Advent. And we thank you, Lord, that you call us to live at peace in all men and to prepare our hearts for any time when you will come again. And until then, Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength, that you would increase our faith, that you would give us the assurance that you are with us, even when we feel alone and empty and isolated and in pain. And so this day, O Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our midst, that he would come and just come and restore us. And may the fire of heaven burn today on this cold day. May the fire of heaven move in our midst today. And may your word come to life for all of us, that we might hear from heaven and that we've really heard from God today. And so we ask your blessing upon us, Lord. We ask that you would draw us even closer together. We pray for those that are not here, who are not able to get here, for those that we love and we just don't see anymore. Minister to them in their particular need today, we pray. And so we ask that you would have your way among us, and may we, through our worship and through our acknowledgement of you here today, give you all the honour and all the glory which is due. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We turn to John chapter 1. We're just reading the first verses down to verse 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, without nothing was made that has not been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful words. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And may God give us clarity of his word to us today. What a wonderful piece of scripture that is. We thank you, Lord, that you came to where we are. And you've come to where we are today, in our minds, in our spirit, in the very frame. You come to the innermost part of our being. We thank you that your spirit searches our spirit. And we bless you today that you know those that call on you out of a true heart. And we thank you that today, Lord, at the beginning of this Advent season, that we can recommit ourselves to you, or even commit ourselves for the first time to you, and saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to receive you again. I want to know that I am a child of God. I want to know that I have your spirit living within me to give me that absolute assurance that whatever the future holds, I am yours. And I shall be yours forevermore." So we adore you, we give you the glory, and we bless you, Lord, this day. Amen. Amen. Some words from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's again very well known, but it again speaks of Jesus, and I'll just pick it up in verse 5. It says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, or let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." How often our minds I get caught up with all sorts of things, don't they? Particularly if there's fear. Like with Mary, she feared what the future might be. Let's go on and read these words to give us the confidence that we're worshipping a God who just meets us where we are. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. I wanted to think about that for a moment. He made himself nothing. I think the original version says he gave up his reputation, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I mean, this is just amazing when we think of God the Creator should come and lower himself, not only of heaven, not only of his manhood, but became a servant. To think of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, he said, you go and do likewise. I mean, it's just humility in its real sense. And I believe that at this Advent time, oh God calls us to humble ourselves unto him and to humble ourselves to one another as we look to serve him and to serve one another this Advent. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It's wonderful to know that Jesus loved us so much that he should come as a humble servant, learning obedience even to death on the cross. And as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he loves us and he loves the world so much. Amen. John 1, well, as I say, it's very familiar this time of year, and it's packed with so much, and we haven't got time to go through so much. We have just time to do a little of this lovely chapter. I'm sure we'll revisit it again during Advent. But there's just two verses that I'd like us to think about this morning. Oh, three verses, I think it is. It's verse 16 of John 1, which says, from the fullness of grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God, but God, the only one who is at the Father's side, has made him known. You know, when we look at this sort of prologue of John's, it sums up the whole of his gospel writing. And the reason that John writes this gospel is that people will have belief in Jesus Christ. And I say that because so many people have an idea of who Jesus is. An acclaimed author whose name I can't recall at the moment has said, no matter who we are, and what we believe, whether we're skeptics or atheists or agnostics or believers, we are in like a goldfish bowl. We're like fish swimming in this circle of Christian enlightenment and God involvement. And the reason that people have different views about Advent and different views about Jesus and whether they believe or not. The one thing that Jesus came to do was to give life, and to give life to the full, or abundant life. What do I mean by abundant life? It means living life knowing that God is in control. And not living in fear or doubt or worry, but having the assurance that God is doing what he says he will do. It's interesting, the other three gospels, the synoptic gospels as they're called, they're all written from Jesus in Galilee, but in John he speaks of Jesus in Jerusalem. Matthew speaks of the Messiah, Mark speaks of the servant, Luke speaks of the perfect Son of God, and John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that Jesus was there even before time. And John shows us that Jesus coming from heaven demonstrates that he truly is the Son of God. But this is written, says John, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, you may have life and life in his name. And we're here today, even though that some of us I know have heavy heart, really concerned about health, about life, about, and even for Christians, that this time can be a difficult time because it brings back memories of loved ones that we've lost, relationships that have been broken. It can be a sad time. But even amidst the sadness, that we can know that by believing in his name, that we have that assurance that whatever life is at the moment, God has it sorted as we go through the days to come. Advent is a special time because it brings us into the centrality of Jesus Christ being born in a stable. And as John continues through his letter, he writes of Jesus not only being the Word, but the life, the light, the regeneration, the one who brings conversion, grace and truth, truth and more truth, grace and more grace. It's interesting when we look at these words of John, and in particular as I've been meditating on them, there's so much in here. And I'm just reminded that when we look at scripture, when we meditate on the word, there's something here that God speaks through his word, things that are beyond us at times, but they are indeed revelation. Paul says this to young Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for the teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man, or indeed woman, of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. John 1 Timothy 3:16. And so scripture comes alive when we consider the word becoming flesh. Jesus coming in the form of a child in human flesh. He became like us that he might give his life, that we might have life. And it's interesting that scripture doesn't contradict itself, but it brings comparisons. And I think it's important when we look at the comparisons that John makes to emphasize a very important point. And it's in this verse that I've read just now. For the law, in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And why does he mention Moses in the light of Jesus? We know that Moses was like Jesus. He was faithful. He was a servant. He was a friend of God. He was one who experienced God in a tremendous way. He was the one that went up to Mount Sinai to receive the law. And that was an experience that only he had. He fasted for 40 days and he met with God in heaven. And that place of Sinai was a place of thunder. It was black cloud. There was smoke. There was lightning. There was blast of thunder. There was a trumpet blast. And all that were gathered below, all that heard what they heard, they could not stand that voice of God. They could not cope with God speaking. You see, the word of God, when it speaks to us, is transforming in every way. And we're here because we believe in that. We believe that God transforms our thinking. The old has gone, the new has come, says Paul. The light of life has filled our hearts. And we see life differently because we read in Ephesians 1 that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have a heavenly perspective. We have an eternal perspective that gives us the assurance that in this limited life we lead, we have an eternal home in glory. Moses went up to Sinai to receive the law. And Jesus came full of grace and truth. This is the comparison I think John really wants to point out, and which I point out to you today. What a difference. That Jesus saw that we were full of sin, without hope and without God in this world, and he came to give us life, to bring life, to share his life through the cross, that we might have life and life to the full. You see, Jesus embodies truth. Didn't he say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's full of grace, that unmerited favor of God, that we don't deserve what God has given us, but it's given to us in any case. O little town of Bethlehem. It's so different to Mount Sinai, with the thunder and the smoke and the cloud. What a comparison. To know that Jesus came to a place that was obscure in every way. There was no room for him in the inn, and there he was born in a stable, because that was God's plan, because people then could understand. The shepherds were the first to go in there. These ordinary unschooled people, I suppose, had the revelation from heaven, and they went to see Jesus. You know, some people in our world today believe that you've just got to get on in life. You've got to achieve this, achieve that, and somehow you get some sort of reward. Of course, that's not true. We know that if we simply accept and receive Jesus Christ, we have all that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. This Advent Sunday is a wonderful time to remind ourselves of Jesus simply coming to where we are. And I want to say this to some of you here this morning. I do sense that some need to hear what I have to say, that I believe that Jesus comes to where you are at this moment. He knows what you're experiencing. And no words from me can replace the words that he will give you in these coming days. I believe that when Jesus comes to meet us where we are, he comes to transform our thinking and our minds and our understanding of perhaps what we're going through. You see, our standing before God is not based on the law, praise God. It's not based on the fact we keep so many commandments or we don't, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith in the knowledge that Christ has come to us full of grace and truth, and grace upon grace. There's more grace to come, hallelujah. There's more of God to come. There's more of Jesus to be known. When I was thinking about this a few days ago, I was reminded that when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he came to such humble surroundings that it was even considered out of reach, therefore out of mind. And yet the scripture reminds us, way back in the writings of the prophets of old, Emmanuel, God with us. It was all planned beforehand. And God's plan will always be fulfilled. Advent speaks of God fulfilling his plan. The second Advent, which is yet to come, is God fulfilling his plan. And what's our response to the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us? The one coming full of grace and truth. Well, I think it's summed up in that lovely old hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter. What can I give him? Poor, stressed, uncertain as I am. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? You've got it. I give him my heart. This Advent, let's give our hearts to him. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe life has taken over. Maybe situations have come into your life where Jesus is no longer that light of life. And he simply says, give me your heart. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, that you don't always create something new from your word. You just open our eyes to what's already there. Help us today, Lord, as we come to this first Advent, not to be concerned and overwhelmed by what surrounds us, but to be assured by the one who sustains us. Lord, today we offer our hearts to you afresh. Not unto us, Lord, but unto you be the glory. Not my plan or purpose, but yours be done. And we pray that as we give our hearts to you, as you receive our hearts today, that you would pour out blessing. Pour out your blessing, we pray, upon every life represented here, families that we know and love, friends that we'll see, no doubt, this coming month, and the influence that we can make on those around us. We pray that you will, as we give our hearts to you, that you would give again your heart to us, that we might live according to your will and your purpose this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.